Well, this morning we're going to continue our Freedom Friday series, visiting with some area veterans, and Kenny Harrison of Oneida joins us here this morning. Kenny was, he's an Army guy. He was drafted back in the Vietnam era, and Kenny, you actually got a chance to get started with some guys that you knew. There were a pretty good group of guys around here that went with you.
Yes, there was quite a few of us right here in Oneida and Messina area went together. I could name a few names: Ralph Wickey, Rich Watson, Kenny Towns from Griswold at that point, Bill Glasgow from Essex, all over the place.
Yeah. Did that make it a little easier to make the trek, knowing that you were going with some guys that you knew, you're all in the same boat together?
Well, yeah, you know, you just weren't out there just thrown to the wolves by yourself, I guess, and it was a lot easier.
It was a tough time. It was Vietnam era, and, you know, those who were alive at that time know the tensions and things that went on and the conflicts and what have you, but you get drafted, your number comes up, you really don't have a choice.
When our number came up, we were on our way to Omaha to get sworn in, and away we went from there. So it was a fun 2 years, I guess you call it. In my part, a lot of guys didn't have that fun, but mine was just daily work.
Yeah. Is there a military history in your family?
Well, kind of. My grandfather was served in World War I, Faye Holliday from Oneida. My dad didn't get a go. My Uncle Bill was wounded, I believe, in Korea. I believe it's when his was. I'm not going to say it was Korea or World War II. And my father-in-law was in World War II, Robert Rogers from Cumberland. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty well the history. My brother went into service for 3 years. But other than that, that was about it.
Yeah. Well, getting drafted, you don't have a choice. Yeah. It's not a choice that you make. But did you have a lot of support from home when your time came?
Yeah, we had a lot of support. I mean, mostly just family. Of course, there were so many of us leaving at the same time. We were on the first big Vietnam draft, and I guess you just went. That's all I can tell you.
Yeah. What was it like for you making that trip and getting started?
It was awful scary at the first. You get guys screaming, hollering at you, telling you're going to do this, go there, do this. And it was a little scary at first. Once you got settled in the first week or so, you kind of knew what was going on, and you did what you had to do.
Yeah. Well, and some of the guys that you went in with, weren't necessarily with them all the time when you were in basic?
When we were in basic, there was about, I don't remember now how many of us were sworn in together, but there was about four or five of us stayed in the same company all the way through basic. So we saw each other every day for the whole time we were in basic training for that 8 weeks.
Well, we hear lots of horror stories about basic training. Was it that tough for you?
Yes and no. There was different things. I became a squad leader, not by choice, but by the sergeant saying, you will do it. But you try to get everybody through it. We do what you could to get through, and we had some guys that wouldn't do what they were told, and then as a squad leader, you had to help them out and try to get through what they were supposed to do. So that's what we did.
You do what you're told at that point, but did you get any advice from any family before you had a chance to take off?
Well, the only advice I really had is my grandfather said, when he knew I was going, he told me, one thing is, he says, don't volunteer for anything, and just do what you're told, and you'll get along fine. So that's what it did.
You know, then assignments come. So yeah. What happens at that point?
We got our orders to go to different posts, telling you what you're going to do. There was all of us guys, basically the ones I'm going to tell you about, the ones that were in basic with us right there at that point, none of us went to the same place. None of us had the same job. Mm-hmm. And they sent my orders come down with a 63B20, whatever that meant I was going to become a truck driver. I have no idea how they decided I was going to become a truck driver, but that's what they wanted me to do. So I went to Fort Sill, Oklahoma, as a truck driver, to learn to be a truck driver.
Who knows why they pick certain people to do certain jobs. Did you get along all right there?
Did fine and stuff. We got through there. There was probably, give or take, about, I'm going to say, 75 guys. I don't remember now. And we went through the classes and did all the book work and did driving. And then three of us were the top of the class, and they sent us over to a headquarters outfit to become a general's driver. They was going to pick one of us to be the general's driver of the post. But that didn't pan out because they had a young man in there, just been there 2 months, So they need a driver, so then they had to find something else for us to do. So then two of the guys stayed in personnel, and I went down to the motor pool and became a mechanic then at the motor pool.
So you guys were responsible for a lot of the vehicles that ended up overseas.
A lot of them. I did all inspection on them and inspect them, and we shipped out an average of 25 Jeeps, probably 25 three-quarter tons, and probably 10 to 20 deuce and halves every month to Vietnam. They just come and load them on trailers and haul them. They said they were going straight to Vietnam, and so that's what we were in charge of.
I know you've got duties, you've got things to do. They keep you pretty regimented, pretty busy all the time, but there's some downtime now and again, and I know you had told me a story a little bit about a Thanksgiving you have to spend with some guys.
Yeah. Well, that Thanksgiving was actually in basic training. We had, I don't know whether we didn't have to duty that day or what, but anyway, we went over to the PX, and one of the guys had been interviewed is Ralph Wickey from Messina. He has a picture, and I think there's 29 guys that was in that picture from Southwest Iowa, possibly including Manning, Manila, Schleswig, Shenandoah, down in that area and stuff. So, but there was 29 of us there that day for Thanksgiving dinner. We might have had a beer or two.
Well, it was nice to have, you know, some of that to be able to fall back on too. It's something to look forward to.
Yeah.
Did you know that was going to happen ahead of time, or is that just kind of something that worked out?
Just happened. Huh. We kind of put it together and called some of them, and here they come, and we were all there.
It probably doesn't happen that often in those circumstances. You didn't see any overseas time at all while you were in the service during Vietnam in your 2 years.
No. I stayed at, from Fort Leonard Wood, I went to Fort Sill, Oklahoma, and I stayed there my entire time.
Mm-hmm. But you knew others that did.
Oh, yeah. A lot of friends right here at home served in Vietnam. They spent a couple tours there, some of them did. I lost several awful good friends, were killed over there. Some of them was in the military and those outfits I was in. Mm-hmm. There was a few of them. I lost a first cousin from basically Casper, Wyoming. He's lived here for a few years. Kevin Burke was a classmate of mine. Doug Holland was a year ahead of me in school. We all ran around together ever since we were just little kids. And that was, it was hard to take.
Yeah, and sometimes during that era, and I say during that era, you know, for folks who were alive at that time and are aware of what went on, it was just kind of a different time. Not everybody supported the war, mm-hmm. so it was just one of those situations. But, you know, it's difficult. Sometimes people look at that time at someone in uniform and think that they just don't have feelings. That mm-hmm. You're doing what you're told, but you do have feelings, and you have some of the same worries where you are, mm-hmm. knowing that you're, helping out the effort and everything, but you can't really do anything to help your friends. You have some of the same feelings there that some of the parents and family do back mm-hmm. home.
Yeah. Some of those feelings just still wear at you after all these years.
You can't let that stuff go. You never had a chance to get overseas. That was never an option that was given to you, as far as you knew. But mm-hmm. you were telling me a story. You found out the tail end of your service that you might have been overseas.
Yeah. The day I got out of the service, I went up, and a gentleman by the name of Lieutenant Colonel Pierce was our commanding officer. And he called me into his office, and he said, Kenny, said, I want to talk to you a few minutes. And so we just sat there in business and stuff. And before I got ready to leave, he said, well, I wanted to tell you something. He said, I pulled you off orders for Vietnam 3 times. And I said, first of all, I said, why did you do that? And he said, first of all, he says, when we get an outfit that's working smooth, you keep it working that way and stuff. And I sat there for a little while, and I said, well, I got a question or two to ask you. And he says, what's that? And I said, am I supposed to be glad that you pulled me off of Vietnam? I says, don't get me wrong. I didn't want to go over. I mean, I would have went if I'd been ordered, but I didn't want to go over just to die or anything like that. And I said, the second one is what happened to the 3 people that you sent in my place? And he looked at me and he says, that's something we will never know. And I said, but due respect, sir, I says, I'm going to have to live with that the rest of my life. And I still think about it.
What about coming home? Was that difficult for you to get back? It was 2 years. It was a drastic change from what you knew back here. Was it difficult for you to get back and get into the rest of your life?
Well, yeah. Yes and no. Of course, I was back a few times on leave while I was down in Fort Sill. And I came home and was just a lot of the guys were coming back. We got to visit and do different things. And we just got a job and went back to work.
Yeah, get back to doing what you're doing. How did it change? How did the service time change you? Did people notice a big change in Kenny when he came home and in the type of guy that he is?
Well, I don't know. Nobody ever said anything to me about it. Stuff. I don't know how much it changes some people. Some of the guys change and stuff, and one of the gentlemen that came back just couldn't cope with it and took his own life. I don't want to mention any names and stuff, and the veterans around here that know it, they know who I'm talking about, but they just couldn't cope with it after he came home, and that's too bad. But we don't know what all he went through. You know, they go through hell over there. So
when you get a chance to look back at the service now, I mean, all these years later, and you still kept touch with some of these guys.
Yeah, I've got several friends. I lost one of my good friends about 3 years ago. He passed away he had a massive stroke. He and I had talked about it every year at Christmas for about an hour or 2 hours stuff, and we'd been talking to each other for 42 years. And never got a chance to meet each other, and we were going to meet up that next spring, and he didn't make it and stuff. I have a friend in Chester, West Virginia, that I've been trying to get a hold of, but I'm hoping he's still alive, but I haven't talked to him for a long time, but I'll still keep trying.
Well, Kenny, I know you had a lot of great stories and stuff, and I do appreciate you sharing some of those with us here today. We salute you for your service. Thanks for all you did.
Well, thank you. Like I said, I didn't do much. I'm working with the Legion quite a bit. I have been there I'm a 42-year member now and stuff, and I stay with it and help out, and hopefully we can help some of the veterans while we're here and help different people in the community, too. That's what we're there for.